get them one clear, quick win in that blog. Yes, it needs to be a certain length and all of that, but like, don't try to solve the whole world's problems in one piece of content. One, you ain't gonna do it. They aren't gonna remember it. And two, you're really not serving your person and you're not serving yourself by trying to fix all of these things in one post.
You're listening to She Can Systemize, your go-to place where you are finally going to feel like this is what I need. I'm your host, Taryn Rochelle, and this podcast is a no-fluff, sustainable business tips, real-life experiences, and a whole lot of community vibes to help you create your version of freedom in your life and business. Everything you're envisioning of doing can be achievable with the right mindset, plan, and yes, of course, a system. So grab your favorite bev, listen while you work, or kick off those shoes and get comfy because you're about to soak up some real talks, actionable steps, and usually some laughs along the way. Those big dreams you have aren't just going to stay dreams for long. So pop in those AirPods because yes, I'm here to help you make it happen. Hey guys, welcome back to She Can Systemize. I am your host, Taryn Rochelle. And I am so excited about this episode because at the time of recording this, I am working on launching my brand new website, which is finally going to have blog posts. I have not blogged my entire business, which is probably making my guest here like, Taryn, what are you doing? But I just felt like I never had the capacity to do it. And that is why I wanted to have this episode and bring Faith on. So Faith is a Jesus lover, a wife, a barrel racer, which when I read that, I was like, so cool. The closest I get to barrel racing is watching it on Yellowstone. A worship leader, an accidental SEO expert, copywriter, podcaster, and wrangler of tiny humans, which I got to see her sweet little babe while we've been recording. She podcasts over at Simple SEO and Marketing, where she shares shoot at you straight, very practical tips on how to scale your business using SEO keywords and blogging. So she is the right person for this episode, and I cannot wait to chat with you. So thanks so much for joining me, Faith.
Well, thanks so much for having me, Taryn. When we were going back and forth in our communication, you're like, can you make this fast? Like, can we blog quickly? I'm like, yes, because I have zero time to fiddle fart around in my life.
Oh my gosh. I know. I can tell from your bio. I'm like, when do you have the time to blog? And I cannot wait to dive into this because like I said, I have put it off for so long, which has also made me put off using Pinterest, which I know Pinterest is such an amazing platform to utilize for your business. But I know to use it smartly is to tie it in with blogs and all of that kind of stuff. For SEO. So I'm like, I'm not going to spend time on a platform when I don't have somewhere to lead them to. I'm not going to send them over to Instagram. So I'm just waiting until I have these blogs for it to all make sense, which I am a strong believer in that you do not need to be on every single platform, just ones you can be on intentionally. So I would love for you to share more about yourself, Faith, and what got you into blogging and why you really enjoy blogging and also telling people and teaching people about the best ways to utilize it.
Well, I love to tell the story of like my little baby blogger self, because bless me, I have just always been like the person who's like, here, let me give you advice, whether you wanted it or not. So like, I cannot tell you how many times my husband laughs at me because we'll be in the store and somebody will be like searching for something. I'm like, here, let me just tell you the best one. I already know. I can see the look on your face.
Let me save you some time and I know exactly what you're looking for.
Yeah, like the dairy-free ice cream aisle. I'm like, skip this, just go straight to this. And people are like, really? I'm like, yes. And so I feel like blogging was just made for me because I love to write. But bless my heart, when I first started out, I was like, I'm going to help all the people with all the things. I'm going to do like spiritual growth and Bible study devotions and hunting and health related things and business strategies. And I was just like, I'm going to give you all of these things in one blog. And it went really nowhere very quickly. I made zero traction because like who searches, you know, who, how do you, why would you read somebody that's an expert on all those things, right? Like, not possible. Google ain't going to help me out none. Like, I went nowhere fast. But I was always a writer. I've always loved to write. I have a minor in English. And then my main degree, my bachelor's, use words faith, is in business and marketing. And so I've always loved the blend of, you know, the written word or the spoken word and marketing. And so I was doing some content writing for brands, and I had this one customer who their website was just bugly and really poorly written other than the blogs that I was writing, but they were getting so much more traffic than I was. They had extra digits on their end of their traffic compared to me. And so I was like, what the heck? How does this even happen? Their website is so ugly and mine is so beautiful, you know? And, you know, hindsight, I laugh at myself. But so I started digging into SEO and I'm like, what even is this? Why are they getting more traffic? And so I just started diving into creating a website and creating content, blog content, with SEO in mind. And I started just trying things and tweaking things and working on my own stuff and working on client stuff. And it was working. And I was like, oh my gosh, this works. This is amazing. And I figured out all of these ways to do it, to use SEO and use blogging in a way that's super effective. Like, one of my clients had 2,000% increase on their traffic in a year, which is unheard of. And they had an existing website and an existing business. It wasn't like they just started. And so just being able to use the power of blogging, but doing it in a way that, one, doesn't feel sleazy, and two, is really efficient, has been really fun for me to do and then teach people, other people, how to do.
I love that. And I love that you share your personal experience of, like, you know, where you started with your blogs, because I think a lot of people, even with, you know, me and systems, are like, okay, yeah, you have a systems brain. I'm sure you had all your systems perfect at the beginning. I'm like, no, everything is new to you at the beginning when you first start doing it. But once you find your footing and you find what you're really good at, then yeah, it can become very efficient, but it doesn't mean that that's exactly where we started at the very beginning was like that. And so I think it's really great for people to relate to the fact that, you know, you started out in a space of, you know, probably doing the most or doing more than what was necessary, and also not thinking intentionally with how you were blogging. And I think for me, that was one of my biggest, like, mindset shifts that I had to make with getting started with my blog, and why I actually now enjoy writing out blogs, is because everything has intention, everything has a purpose. And I'm also just having fun with it. I'm not thinking of it as just like this daunting piece of content, which is also how I used to think about email marketing too. Instead of just being like, this is just another form of me. It's just a longer form of content. And it's also great for then repurposing to your smaller content. So diving in, when someone's like just getting started with doing a blog, because I'm sure there's a lot of people that are maybe like me that have either had a website and haven't had a blog, or maybe they're working on their website and wanting to add in a blog. What are things that people should do to get started with when they are first getting into blogging? This could also be helpful for those of you listening that have a blog, but you're not seeing that traction. So maybe we need to audit your process. So what are some areas that people can start with when they're first getting started with doing a more intentional blog process?
So really the way that I look at it is it's a three-stage process, and each stage has three steps. So the first stage is really the prep work, which, you know, for any good system, there's a lot of prep work that feels like, you know, very painstaking to people who don't think systematically, i.e. me, but it pays off in the end. And the prep work part is really where the magic is, because the prep work, when you do your prep work, you have to dig deep and you have to know your content strategy, which really at the heart of your content strategy needs to be your why. Why are you in business? Why are you helping people like this? Why? Like, go deep with your why. And then you build out your content from there. Because if you can create content around something that feels super authentic to you and why you're in business, not just to make money, but why you want to spend your life, your one precious life, doing this thing. When you can build out your content around that, it feels so good to create because you know you're actually helping people with your God-given gifts. And then you create your content pillars from there. But too many people get stuck on the content pillars and my content buckets, blah, 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 without thinking about their why. And so the first place you have to start is you got to figure out your why and build out your content strategy from that. And then you got to do the keyword research because bless me, but nobody was searching the things that baby blogger Faith was writing about, right? Nobody's searching for those things. Like maybe they were helpful, but people weren't searching for them. And so you have to dig in and do the actual research. And this, your keyword research, it can be overwhelming, but don't let it be. Really, you are just simply looking for the words that people are using to describe the things that you do. Because sometimes the words that we use to describe what we do are different than the words that other people use. And we need to find their words that they are typing in with their little fingers onto Google. And that starts with great keyword research. I love Ubersuggest for that because I think it's the most user-friendly platform. And it has a lifetime license. You can buy the thing and use it forever and not have to think about another monthly subscription. And then the third step of that like prep work part is to have a master content list. And I want this to be as easy as possible for people. I have a Google Doc that I have linked on my phone. And whenever I have an idea, I just type it in there. Because then I have that thing with me all the time. I'm not going to lose my notebook. I'm not going to lose Google Docs. It's not in some obscure note in some obscure place on my phone. Like it's simple, it's easy. And then when I'm feeding horses or on a jog or shoveling poop or changing a diaper or whatever like random thing I'm doing that I have an idea, I have some place to put it so that when I come to the next stage, I have ideas.
All of those things are so just for like anyone that's feeling like Faith just talked to them. Like I feel like she just talked to me because I am at a point right now where I have been pivoting my business from being a more like client facing business underneath a business name of the Social Lifestyle Co. into a personal brand. And with that, I got very stuck in that content pillar, content bucket, like overload phase of like, what does this even mean right now with this new area and this new season of life that I am in? But then I, again, like you said, went back to my why. I'm like, okay, what is my purpose for my community right now? What is my why of what I'm doing? And then it made it that much easier for me to figure out what those content pillars were going to be. And I am huge on keeping track of those ideas that you have for content marketing. I am a huge
fan. You probably have a fancier system for that than I do, but I just
Listen, Google, like I always say, okay, your system is your process. It's not the system tool you use. So your process right now is using a Google Doc. As long as you're doing that and there's not sticky notes everywhere with all these ideas or they're like on some napkin that you wrote somewhere that you threw away, like that is fine with me. Yes, I love system tools. So mine go into a system tool. But if you aren't at a point of doing that, or that's just not the way your brain works right now, as long as it's written down somewhere, that's what is important. Because as busy entrepreneurs, then we add on being a mom, then we add on being a barrel racer. Like we add on all of these things. Like there's so much to think about. And if we're trying to remember all of these amazing ideas we're having in the moment, especially they always happen at the most random moments of life. We have these incredible ideas, or we see something at the grocery store that reminds us of a content piece that we could do, which we're like, how does this even relate to each other? But being able to write that down in a space where you're not going to forget it is so important. So then when you go to these next stages that Faith is going to talk about, you're going to feel that much more prepared and not sitting here looking at a blank screen about to write a blog post and then just turning off your screen and being like, I can blog next year. Like this can now get taken off of my goals for this year because we don't have those ideas.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's really like, I heard something last night on a podcast, not about content at all, but he said that he has the best ideas when his mind is free to play. His mind is free to play when his body is moving. And so he has notebooks all around his gym. And I was like, oh, that's brilliant. When I have a gym again, I'll do that. But then
you're
the
like,
second
when I have that, when I have that, you're like, great idea for that moment in my life.
Yeah. Yeah. When I have a gym again, but, you know, well, we're getting there. We're in the house hunting stage of life. So, you know, but, really the second stage then moves into planning. And I feel like people try to get the planning ahead of the prep work and then they get all discombobulated. I'm like, no, we got to do the prep work first and then you can move into the planning. And I like to plan my content 1 to 2 months in, like 1 to 2 months at a time. I just get like, I don't know, like it's not fun for me if I have to plan any further out than that. And then I can't pivot with what my audience needs. You know, so I like to plan 1 to 2 months at a time. And so what you do then is you take your brilliant little list that you've created and you have on, you know, whatever your system is, and you're going to sit there and you're going to brainstorm more ideas even. Because once you get ideas flowing and you get juices flowing, you're probably going to have more ideas. Of course, you have to look at your goals and you have to look at your launches and you have to plan accordingly there. But start with creativity and then let the creativity plug into the right places. And then you're going to get your second step in this phase is you're going to choose like, what am I doing? Just pick the cotton picking things, right? Like pick the topics. Don't worry about titles. Just pick the topics that you're going to be blogging on. And then you're going to outline. While you're in this planning phase, I want you to outline your blogs because your brain's already working on that. You already know that this is what I want to say about this. So write it down. I have templates where I have, I just copy and paste or create a new template, duplicate the template, and then I outline on that template. And then I plug it into my workflow and I have everything organized and where it needs to go. But if you're just not there yet, that's why you're listening to Taryn's podcast, then outline your main points underneath on your master content list and just say, okay, these are the 3 things I want to hit on this topic. Okay, these are the 5 things I want to hit on this topic. Okay, these are the 10 tips for this topic. Great. Get it out of your head and on to paper. And really, when you plan out your content like once every 1 to 2 months, like this maybe takes me 30 minutes, maybe, if that, to plan out my content, doing one blog a week or one podcast a week. Like obviously double that if you're doing more than that. But this doesn't have to take very long. And I actually really like to do this in accordance with my cycle because I found that different weeks of the month, I have different strengths here, but like you can do that if you want to, you don't have to, if you don't want to, that's not a make or break deal. And then whenever you're like, okay, I need to sit down and actually write out the content, which you can do as part of this step, if you want, or you can do it another day. And then you're going to sit down and step 3 is you're going to actually execute. You're going to take your outline for this blog and you're going to write it out and you're going to take this outline and you're going to think back to your high school English class with that English teacher that beat you over the head with a book and was like, write it like this. And you're going to write it like that. And you're going to give that blog a dang introduction and 3 main paragraphs and a conclusion. And you're going to tell the people what you're going to tell them in the introduction. You're going to then tell them the things and the main points. And then you're going to tell them what you told them in the conclusion. And you're going to write it like that. Now, do you have to use proper English and these and thous and those and thuses? No. You can use bullet points and numbers and make it easy to read for people because, hi, we skim things on the internet. We don't read verbatim. Bless us all. But you're going to make it easy to read, but you're also going to make it logical. And you're going to make it a length that serves your audience and makes Google happy, which just depends on your industry. And then you're going to close that blog or all 4 of those blogs that you just worked on. And you're going to walk away for a day at least because our brains have to take a break to edit correctly. So then in phase 3, then you're going to edit, optimize for keywords and upload. I love Grammarly for a tool for editing. I pay for the whole shebang because I have a team and we do copy for people. So like it should sound good, right? But you can use the free version and it does really well for most things. But you're going to edit a day separate from when you write, at least a day. And then is when I plug in my keywords because I want – I want my content to flow from my creativity and my experience and not feel dictated by the keywords. So I've done my keyword research in my prep phase, but I go back and I do some more keyword research and more optimization in the actual execution stage. So then I have my beautiful blog that I've outlined, filled it in. It's this robust blog. And then I'm going to go in and I'm going to say, okay, my keyword research says this. Faith's brain said this. Let's make them play nicely together. And I'm going to say, well, I said this word like this, but really I could say it like this too. And it would make sense and still sound like me. And I'll just do those swaps. And then this content that flowed organically from me and from my experience and my expertise then is optimized for Google with words that people are actually searching on Google. And then I just upload that onto my blog host, which happens to be WordPress, who's WordPress and Show It. And I create my pins and I'm done. And really, usually it's more like an hour and a half than 2 hours.
Grab your favorite beverage and listen up. I have a question for you. How do you feel when you hear the word SEO? Maybe you think that seems way too hard and techie for me. Well, let me tell you, you are not alone, but I have a secret for you. It's not any of those things, and let me tell you why. But first, let me introduce myself. Hi, I'm Abby. I am one half of the Duo Collective, an organic marketing agency where we teach you how to grow your business without having to spend a dime on paid ads. Now it's time to forget the myth that SEO is too hard, because we are changing the game. I am a self-taught SEO expert who not only built our website to drive thousands of visitors every month and paying clients from search alone, but I have also helped hundreds of clients and students do the same. And now I want to teach you. We just launched a DIY SEO course called SEO on Tap that breaks down the jargon-filled world of SEO into bite-sized, less than 10-minute lessons with easy action items that make it so easy to fit into your schedule. I am teaching you all the secrets and successes that I have seen from my clients that help them drive traffic and increase revenue. The doors right now are closed, but we are opening them exclusively for She Can Systemize listeners. That's right, only you can join us. Send us a DM at duo.collective on Instagram that says she can, or head over to duocollective.com/she can. Time is limited though. Join us before the doors close for good on April 30th.
It's so great to hear your perspective of having the keywords, doing that process at the end, because I've heard from a lot of people to kind of do it the opposite way. And I have really struggled writing that way because, just like you said, your creativity just needs to flow. And when I feel a little too structured in my creativity, mm-hmm. like it just doesn't like come out of me. Like mm-hmm. I think Canva templates, for example, are like a really great thing to utilize when you need to. But sometimes I feel not as creative when I'm looking at a template that's like already there and not in my brand and all these kinds of things, as opposed to mm-hmm. me just like throwing random elements and then just kind of playing around. Or maybe I'll like look at templates and I'll pull different things from one template and one things from another, but like just staring at a template, like my brain just doesn't work that way because I mm-hmm. need to just let my creativity go. And mm-hmm. like same thing, even like with reels, like some of my best reels have just come from me like doing them like that day, as opposed mm-hmm. to like being so structured. And I think that is so helpful. It just for me of writing blog posts is to go about it of a sense of like writing for my creativity brain and really think about it that way, then go back in and seeing where those keywords can play in to make sure that it sounds like me, like you're saying, but then it's also making Google happy. And I think with the like the outline, for example, of having that already there, something that is probably going to be really helpful for you guys listening is with having these outlines and having these content ideas mapped out. If you get questions from your audience that kind of relate to those outlines, you can plug those in so you can make sure that you are speaking to what your community is asking for. Because a lot of times we will write or create things just with ourselves in mind and not thinking about just like how, you know, baby blog writing Faith was like writing all these things and it mm-hmm. wasn't stuff that people were searching for, but it was things that you thought were amazing and needed to be out there. but we're not putting ourselves in the mind of our ideal audience because we're, you know, the experts in this topic that we're talking about. So our readers aren't going to be reading from that expert level. Like they wouldn't be searching for these blogs or for this podcast if they like didn't need help in that area. So we need to make sure that we're talking from a level of where they are at right now and how they are searching. When it comes to keyword research, because I know a lot of people may have questions on this, like what are some best practices of, I know you mentioned the tool to use with Uber Suggest of, you know, figuring out what keywords, but are there any like ways to get started with that for anyone that's just like unfamiliar with keyword research and just hears that and they're just like, over my head instant right panic. Now. I don't know.
Sweaty pits kind of feeling. Yeah.
Instant overwhelm. Like I check out, like I'm done.
Yeah. So what I always tell people to do first is I tell them to shut their computer to start their keyword research process. And I have students bust out a piece of paper and fold it in two thirds. And in one place, you're just going to write down all of the problems that you solve for your person. And then you're going to write out just different ways to say that. I mean, go get a thesaurus, get a dictionary, like think of different ways to talk about the problems that you solve. And then you're going to think up ways to describe the promise that you offer people, because people are searching people are searching for solutions to problems, but they're also wanting an end result. So think about it as like how to paint my walls versus how to have an aesthetic bedroom. Like you're teaching them how to paint their walls, but at the end of it, they're going to have an aesthetically pleasing bedroom or whatever it is. And so, and these are not, you don't have to think about these as super strict guidelines. This is just to get your brain flowing and think of different ways to say things so that when you go do the keyword research and you dig into the right size of keywords for you and your website, you don't feel so stifled because you already have this huge list of things that you can be like, okay, is this how people are saying it? Is this how people are saying it? And think about different ways on your little sheet of paper that people would describe you as a service provider or business owner. Because a lot of us, we're in these industries that they're just not, they're non-traditional jobs, right? Like I'm not a plumber. Like I have to tell people what I do and explain it. Like I help you get more website traffic, more traffic to your website and more sales from your website. And then they get it, but it's not like plumber or electrician or doctor, right? And so sometimes we have to play around with different ways to say what we do without being, you know, offended or tied to some like perfect elevator pitch. Like, what do you do? You know, how do you help people? What results do you get them? And just write all of those things down on a piece of paper before you open up your keyword research tool of choice. And then you don't feel so like panicky about the technology.
Yeah, that breakdown makes so much sense because like for me, I've always felt that way with keyword research where I just like get overwhelmed with it. And it is just like you said, like we have such, you know, sometimes unconventional jobs. Like I just spoke at career day for my kids and I was so stressed out about doing it. So my husband works for Dungeons and Dragons. And so when he did career day, of course, like all the boys were like geeking out and like loving what he did. And like, he had all these dragons and cool elements. And I'm like, what am I going to tell these children I do? Like, what in the world?
But he totally cheated. That's totally cheating.
Yeah, I know. He's so cheated. He had an upper hand there. Like, I'm like, I don't have cool dragons to give out. I'm sorry. But it was so funny because all of the other people that were there came over to my booth, which I felt had nothing. Like, I felt like it was like way too simple. And they were like, this is like my favorite setup. Like, this is so good. And it was all about just being your own boss and being an entrepreneur and what that really means. And that was relating, you know, taking what I do and relating it to children that were preschool to sixth grade. And they always say, you know, like when you're talking about what you do for work, like make sure you can say it in a way that children understand. Mm-hmm. And I've never had to actually do that until being at this career day. And it really helped open my eyes to how to speak to my audience who are also feeling a lot of times that people come to me, they're maybe just starting their businesses, or they're at that tipping point of like, what's that next step that they want to take in their business? Like, they're such a visionary, but like, how do I really get there? And also like, explain this vision to make sense, because right now it's just like all of these different words of like how I help people and all these things. But sometimes just writing those things down and, you know, talking about those promises and those solutions that you're going to provide can really help give you the clarity that you're looking for when talking about your messaging. And your messaging has to come through so clearly, especially in these long form pieces of content, because of Google. If you're doing it right, you know, like Faith was talking about with her clients, like you can have crazy high results of Google picking you up because of your SEO, because of these keywords. But then I'm sure I would love to chat about this a little bit. Like, I'm sure it can kind of be, you know, both sides, where if you're doing it one way and getting a lot of traction, but it's not really towards what you actually do or how you help people, you could be confusing your audience or confusing them by having this SEO that's picking up, but it's not necessarily relevant to your life and your business and your messaging, but it's so strong in these keywords. But are we doing like intentional keyword research? So like, what are your thoughts on that aspect? Or like, have you seen people kind of go through that process where maybe they are picking up eyes, but it's like not the right eyes? And then they're like, what am I doing wrong?
Well, and it can really, funny story. One of the things that I get consistent traffic on is a blog that I wrote on how hard it is to have adult friendships with another adult, like eons ago, right? Like, it's still linked to my website. God bless me. Do I talk about that anymore? No. Do I still believe in good friendships? Yes. But like, my brand and business has evolved, right? And so I think part of, you know, you're just going to have some of that as a business evolves. But the more streamlined you can, and this is a kind of a funny line to walk, I feel like, because I think sometimes people get like so caught up in the, it has to be perfect, so they never start. But on the flip side of the coin, like, the more clear you can be on your vision and who you help and how you help them at the beginning, the less messy cleanup there is going to be at the end. Because I have things I'm like, oh, I should fix that. Like, you know, umpteen years later, because I just started with messy action. You know, am I still glad I started? Yes. But have I had to clean some things up? Also, yes. But I think when you start with the heart to be helpful in your content and you're not trying to trick the algorithm, overall, you're not going to be getting the wrong traffic, because you're still in the same, most people are still in the same lane. Like, they're not moving from marketing Twinkies to kale. You know, they're in the same general lane. And so I think the more clear you can be, yes, that the better. But also there's cleanup crews, i.e. me, for my own mess.
There's cleanup crews. And like, I it's so like, even though you have that blog post that like you're talking about, I still feel like it's so relevant still to like, you know, who you are as a person too. Like, for me, it's, I, you know, I would relate to that, because I feel like I'm in this weird stage of life where like, I feel that way too about adult friendships, because I had kids very young. And so all of the parents that are, you know, parents of kids that my kids are friends with, like, we're just not in the same ages at all. So like, I struggle with that a lot right now. And, or it's like the opposite, where my friends that are around my age are just now having babies. So I'm like in my auntie era, which is great, and like all the babies, but I'm also like, my kids are in school, and like, I just like, don't, you know, I'm not in the baby stage anymore, which I miss. But then it's like, you know, I'm struggling with that of the adult friendship. So, you know, that would relate to me, and to, you know, relate me with you of like, oh, like, you know, Faith gets it. And then I'm like, oh, Faith also does this other stuff with her business that's very helpful for me. You know what I mean? So it's like, that's part of like, you're bringing in your personality and like, just like showcasing different aspects of you that I think is so helpful, even within any kind of marketing is to still keep that personal aspect, because I think one thing I wanted to touch on is, like, you know, misconceptions or like things that you feel like maybe people go wrong when it comes to blogging. And just one from my own personal aspect of blogging is viewing it as this really strict form of content. Like, same with email marketing. Like, I need to like address these emails like it is this like corporate email. And I'm like, why am I putting this on myself when that's not my brand voice? And I would look at blogs the same way, like that they needed to be some different kind of content, which is not how it should be. I always tell people, you're going to get me the same way anywhere you see me, on stage, in person, like anywhere. But you know, it's just going to be a different version of me, of, you know, me doing something else, but it's always going to be me. And I needed to figure that out when it came to my context. I was putting blogs and emails in like these different categories instead of just remembering it's all my same messaging. So for me personally, I know that was a big misconception or a mistake I was making when I first started in my blogging journey. But I would love to hear from you, like, any other mistakes or misconceptions you see when people are thinking about blogging or when they are already in the process of blogging.
Oh, mistakes. That's a fun topic. So
you're like, you got an hour.
No. One of the biggest misconceptions and mistakes I see is people, they think that their blog, they hate blogs because they have read recipe blogs where you have to scroll for 5 years before you can see the cotton picking ingredient list. If you're a recipe blogger, please don't hate me, but please, for the love of all things holy, put the ingredient list at the top. I don't want to hear about your dog before I know how much butter the recipe takes.
Or at least put that button that says jump to recipe. Yes. I'm like obsessed with that button. I'm going to click it all day, every day.
Yes. And then I'll keep coming back to you. But if I have to read about your dog and your grandma and your auntie, ain't happening. And so sometimes I think people feel like their blogs have to be like that, and they don't want to create content that's annoying or unhelpful or, you know, whatever their experience has been. And so that's a big thing. But I would say to that person, I would say, listen, make your blog serve your people, and then you'll never regret it. If you're creating content that helps somebody, then you're going to be happy about that content even 5 and 10 years from now, because you did something to pour out of yourself to bless somebody else and help somebody else. And so that's that issue. The other issue that I sometimes see people feel like is they feel like they have to solve all of the problems in one post, when in reality, like, somebody is sitting down searching for a solution to a very specific problem. They're going to read your blog and they're going to forget 90% of it in 5 minutes, because our attention span and our retention is just declining rapidly, you know, with social media. And so get them one clear, quick win in that blog. Yes, it needs to be a certain length and all of that, but like, don't try to solve the whole world's problems in one piece of content. One, you ain't gonna do it. They aren't gonna remember it. And two, you're not serving your person, and you're not serving yourself by trying to fix all of these things in one post.
That right there is so helpful, because I can't tell you guys how many blogs I have read where I am just like you're saying, I'm going to serve one purpose or answer one question I have. And then they're talking about, yes, they're talking about that answer, that solution, but then they're talking about other things. And then I've gotten shiny object syndrome on those other things. And I have like moved on to a different tangent, and they could have had the best resource. Cause usually the point of a blog is it's leading someone into something else or giving them more, you know, it's like a funnel going into different areas and everything, you know, keeping people engaged with your community. But they could have had the best next option for me with that blog, but I missed it because I am now gone off to something else and that tab is gone or just in my history somewhere. And, you know, I had to make sure as I started my blog process that I was very clear with this, because I could go on, you get me on the topic of systems or community growth, like I can talk forever. Like, that's why I'm so glad when I'm speaking at conferences, they give me a time limit, because I'm like, I could go on and talk about this forever. And so I want to make it very clear that I'm solving that issue that people are coming to. You know, that title that I have, I am promising and delivering on that title and giving them that solution. And I really had to check myself in looking at a couple of my blog posts, because I'm like, you know, this could really be three blog posts and I'm trying to stuff it into one. So I think that's where that outline process that you talked about really is helpful, because you can make sure that everything in that outline solves that problem, and anything that is like extra in there or anything like that, put into a different blog post or have it expand upon in a free resource or whatever is going to be. But I had to really look at and audit my blogs after I was done writing them, to audit them and look at and make sure, am I giving too much to where I'm confusing? I'm all about providing value and not ever gatekeeping information, but I never want to confuse my audience or make them, you know, not get that solution that they're looking for. Because like you said, when we go and search for something like a blog post or go on Pinterest, we are typing in specific things that we're wanting that answer to, like right then, and not wanting to get off to something else.
Right, right. And if the whole point is to serve, then yes, obviously serve and serve well. But don't be afraid to like say the same thing in more than one blog in a different way. You know, if you're like, yeah, I need to explain this term here and here, like, don't be afraid of that. Like, as long as you don't have the exact same copy on multiple pages, Google's not going to ding you. I mean, it's your words. You can say them more than once.
Yeah, that's a really great thing to keep in mind, because I think a lot of people have felt that way. Even with talking with people about podcasting too, they're like, oh, I kind of touched on this a little bit. Like, you know, I had like the Duo Collective, for example, on my podcast to talk about SEO. And I didn't feel hesitant at all of having you come on, because we're talking about it in a different way. And also everyone has different perspectives and different takes on things. And someone could resonate more with what you are saying. Someone could resonate more with what they are saying, because we all interpret things differently. Right. And so you have to think about that with your audience of like, you know, are they going to resonate with this blog post, or are they going to resonate with another one that still has maybe part of this idea in this blog post, but this is actually more of what they are looking for. So again, it's just always thinking about your audience first and them and where they are at and not where you are at. Unless you're sharing, you know, your story, you should be trying to talk about where they're at right now, because they're not going to want to read about something that they can't relate to. You know, they're not going to, if that's not what they're trying to do right now, then they're not going to relate to it. So I just think this has all been so helpful. Faith, do you have any last minute advice or tips for someone that is either just started getting started with their blog? Maybe they have a blog and it's just not performing well, or they are very, very like, I don't want to do this because of that time commitment. And I'm hoping they already feel different because of your really easy, tangible steps. But any like last advice for someone that is in either of those shoes?
So one, if you haven't started yet, just start. Like, your first work ain't going to be your best work. Move on. It's fine. Go ahead. Like, just get over the fear of starting, and it gets easier. It used to take me like 6 to 8 hours to write one blog. Bless my heart. Like, and now it's, you know, so much faster and it gets easier. And to the person who's not getting any traction, I would say you really need to hone in on your messaging, who you help and how you help them, and then do your keyword research and fix all the SEO goodness behind there. And then if you're somebody that you're like, Faith, I still don't have 2 hours, then maybe you need to hire it out. Like, if you do what you're good at, do what you excel at, and find somebody who will write in your voice, not just create AI generated content for you, who will write in your voice with a great SEO strategy and help you start planting those evergreen trees that are going to keep traffic coming for years to come. Because you know what, you might have your thing that you excel at, and that's awesome. So let somebody else excel at their thing and help you in the process.
Ooh, love that. I just read the book Who Not How by Dan Sullivan. And it's like that same concept about, you know, you'd have all these amazing things out there, but does not mean that you have to be the one implementing and doing it. Sometimes it is the who and not like the how it needs to get done. So highly suggest that book. I literally read it in one day. I've probably mentioned it on this podcast too many times now, but it's so fresh in my brain. But I so appreciate you. I've learned so much. Like, my favorite episodes are when I'm sitting here like, thank goodness I have this recorded for an episode so I can keep listening to it and implementing these steps. So those are my favorite kinds of episodes. I know a lot of people are going to want to connect with you, Faith. Where can they do so? And we will make sure everything is linked in the show notes for you guys.
Awesome. Well, my podcast is Simple SEO and Marketing. Everything can be found either there or on my website at faithhannon.com. I have a freebie that I'm going to give Taryn. It's an SEO cheat sheet, puts SEO terms in a normal people language. I created it for myself and my team because I was like, I'm tired of these weird words. What do they mean in normal human language? And then if you're like, Faith, I need to know how to blog like this to get traction for my business, I have my signature course, The Organic Marketing Framework, where I walk you through how to optimize your website for SEO, do keyword research the right way, and then how to create blogs that are going to drive traffic to your website consistently. It's the method that I've used with clients to get over 2,000% increase in website traffic in a year. And so if you're just like, Faith, help me, help me, help me, that's the best place to start. Or you can shoot me an email, info@faithhannon.com, and we can talk about working together.
Love it. Remember, guys, who, not how. You might just need to outsource to Faith. I really appreciate you. Thank you so much for joining. This was so helpful. And if you guys enjoyed this episode, make sure to leave us a review. We love to read reviews on our episodes and would love to read yours. Make sure if you review on Apple Podcasts, you put your Instagram handle so I can shout you out. Any questions you have on this episode, if you're listening on Spotify, drop them in the Q&A. And if you're listening anywhere else, my DMs are always open. I love reading your guys' questions from episodes, so feel free to shoot them over. Thanks so much for joining me, Faith, and we will see you guys on the next episode of She Can Systemize.
Thank you.